We're back now on this Agriculture Today. It created a major buzz toward the end of 2017 when the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 was passed and signed into law late in December. We are going to take a look now at what this means for agricultural producers and agricultural cooperatives, in that our guest now has been besieged with questions about that in the last two or three weeks. Brian Brigeman is back with us. He's the director of the Arthur Capper Cooperative Center at Kansas State University, Department of Agricultural Economics. We might just talk a bit, Brian, about the impetus behind this bill, this act, from the macroeconomic point of view.
Right. Well, the idea of the act is just kind of what's in its name, right, is for jobs. The hope is that through these tax cuts, that some of that will, quote unquote, trickle down, if you will, to other, you know, individuals and hopefully create some additional jobs. So with the lower corporate tax rates that are out there, there are many other things that are kind of to benefit corporations. There are also aspects of it, too, that are aimed at individual consumers. A lot of folks want to say that, you know, well, it's kind of aimed at the upper tier of wage earners. And actually, it is about the top 40% of earners will receive the largest amount of tax cut. Now, everybody will receive a tax cut individually, but it's a top 40% is a bit more aimed at. Well, why that's important for the macroeconomic story is that 40% represents about 60% of total consumption within the U.S. And if we think about our gross domestic product or our GDP, that total of 70% roughly, it goes into GDP, comes from consumption. So the thought is, if we have more money, disposable income in the pockets of those higher wage earners who also consume the most, could that bolster consumption and help push GDP up? On the corporate side, of course, you know, with additional jobs that could be created, and if we have more consumers and demand picks up and corporations get that signal and say, all right, let's start hiring and put some of this cash on our balance sheet to work. Yeah, I mean, that's the idea. Now, that's the textbook, right? That's the theory. We're going to have to wait and see how it all plays out. I know there's a lot of debate among economists. Some fall in the camp that say, yes, this will work. Some fall in the camp of, no, there's plenty of other headwinds that are facing it, such as budget deficits and, you know, an unsure consumer. And is the labor market really, truly healing? I mean, there's both sides, right, that you see. So, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see how it goes out. But that was at least the idea, the thought process behind it as to why it was passed.
But narrowing it down to what it means on paper anyway to producers and cooperatives, and a quick disclaimer here, the rules will be determined eventually as to the implementation of this act by the Internal Revenue Service, and that process is just barely underway.
Yes, that is correct. So when I have been fielding calls or been out across the state talking with cooperatives, farmers, lenders, and I begin to answer these questions, I always start off with, I'm not a tax advisor, I'm not a CPA, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm certainly not the IRS. And we need the IRS guidance on how this will be regulated. We need those regulations. So right now, a lot of my understanding is my own reading and speaking with other academics, industry experts, business folks, just trying to gain an understanding of what this all means. But, you know, I still think it's some things to consider, because once we do get those IRS guidance, well, maybe some of these things will actually come to pass. And so we need to be ready, at least from how we're managing our operations and how we're leading our cooperatives. Not that we have to have the answers right now, but we need to know what questions to ask. And I would say along those lines, too, sitting down and having a thorough conversation with your tax advisor, whoever does your taxes for you. Also, maybe need to bring in a lawyer as well to have these discussions is paramount for farmers, ranchers, cooperative board of directors, managers, everybody. Be sure that you bring in that expert knowledge so the decisions you make will be to your benefit.
That in mind, then, what relief, as we can discuss it in relatively tangible terms right now, will be coming the producer's way as a result of this act?
Probably the biggest thing and questions that I have received from folks is looking at what are the taxes? Because they hear corporate tax rates are going down. Well, what does this all mean for us as farmers? Mm-hmm. Before we get into that, the first thing to bring up is for those entities that are pass-through entities, so S-corporations, LLCs, some of our farms and ranches out across the state are aligned or incorporated that way. There is a 20% tax deduction in there for those pass-through entities. Now, there are provisions built into it and limitations to ensure that folks do not take advantage of that. It's spelled out pretty clearly. So that is one benefit for those folks. So if you're aligned that way, you know, again, go talk to your tax advisor. What are those things? But there is some relief coming for them. The other piece, and we talked about this a little bit before, was the lowering of the corporate tax rate. So before, at the federal level, corporate tax rates were 35%, and they've been dropped to 21%. So for those farmers who are incorporated as a C-Corp, they will receive that benefit. Now, all those other pass-through entities, they do not get that corporate tax rate. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, you're an LLC and you're taxed like a C-corporation, then there might be some benefit for you on that. But without question, if you are a C-corporation farmer or rancher, that's how your operation is incorporated, you will be getting that pretty significant tax relief, dropped down to 21%.
Now, considering that, is that incentive for producers to give serious thought to converting their operations to a C-Corp?
I've received that question, and unequivocally, my answer is you have to consider it. You have to look at it. That is a very significant drop in tax rates. Now, the thing of it is that comes with its own challenges and pros and cons, all that. And it is a change in your operation and how you go about it. So you would need to, again, talk to your tax advisor. And what does that all mean? But there are some things that we can think about because, gosh, tax rates dropping from 35% to 21% is pretty tremendous.
Substantial.
Yeah. So I guess the big thing, you know, probably obviously that's a benefit of it. Also with a C corporation, if say you were you're a Schedule F farmer, sole proprietorship, incorporating has that limited liability, right? You have that protection within the business, and that's a tremendous benefit of C corporation. And I'm sure I'm going to leave off a lot of other benefits there, but let's just get right to the tax piece. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing of it is, you know, you got the 21%, you know, so that's obviously a benefit as well. But if we think about maybe a challenge of making that switch, of course, first and foremost, if you're Schedule F, I mean, it's just, you know, you're incorporating, so it's different, right? It's change. Mm-hmm. So that makes it a little bit tough. The other piece, and farmers have to, you know, really think through, and this has been a significant headwind or reason many farmers do not go through incorporating and become a C corporation, even though you get the limited liability benefit, is because you have to pay yourself a salary. Essentially, you're working for yourself, right? You have your operation under as a C corporation, and you need to pay a salary out of that.
And you have to manage that as you would any other employee. Then.
Exactly. So you have to sit down, budget it out, and look at it. And it's not, well, whatever money I have at the end of the year, that's the money I get. No, you need to pay yourself a salary, because if you wait till the end of the year, and the way you would get the money out of the C corporation to pay yourself would be through a dividend that you would pay yourself from that business. Well, you're going to be subject to double taxation, right? You will pay the dividend tax rate. So you'll pay the tax. Yes, you got that lower 21%. That's great. But then you're going to get hit with a dividend tax rate as well. So again, you have to kind of sit down and, you know, think that through. Of course, you have to write bylaws, and there's other things there too that you would need to do. Again, talk to an advisor or a lawyer on how to set that up. But, you know, there are some significant benefits there that you need to really consider that and sit down and look at your operation. Is this the path I want to go down?
Mm-hmm. And once more, coming back to a point made earlier, upon the IRS interpretation here.
Right. So. Of course. Yeah. And another thing, too, you brought up, Eric, about managing your business. One of the things that I talk to my students about a lot when I'm teaching ag finance, and we go through managing your farm and, you know, managing operations and how do I make business-minded decisions. Many farmers are Schedule F farmers, and they're managing their operation to minimize their tax. And I am sorry, that is very poor advice. You do not want to minimize your tax. You want to maximize your profit. And if you have profit, then hey, then yeah, I'll pay taxes on that. We can work through that. So the question could be, and a colleague of mine, we've had this discussion, and he brought it up to me. Should give him credit for this. His name's Phil Kinkle at Oklahoma State. He made a really interesting point. He said, well, if this incentive is to move from Schedule F into a C corporation farm, will they make more business-minded decisions? So could that be a tangential benefit that might come from this? Potentially. But again, you know, kind of a little side note that you brought up that I thought I would at least bring up.
Now, after the break, Brian, we'd like to visit about what these new tax changes mean for our agricultural cooperatives in Kansas and elsewhere. So if you'd stand by, we'll get right to that in a moment.
Sounds good.
He's Brian Brigeman, K-State agricultural economist. We'll return with Brian in a few moments here on Agriculture Today.